Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. Later on, I'll be joined by a headmaster who's doing a terrific job encouraging children to plant and grow, teaching the values of gardening. From Charlton Manor Primary School, it's Tim Baker. Our thanks to Sutton Seeds, sponsors of this week's podcast. The news story this week, of course, is the release of a GM orange-flowered petunia. That's got the trade in a bit of a tussle, I'll tell you. It rather sounds as if somebody in Japan has taken a gene from maize and put it in petunia some time ago and produced an orange flower and then put it out onto the market. And a number of seed companies, seeing this lovely colour, must have taken pollen, because there's several other varieties that have been bred from it. I think there's about 8 or 9, some petunias raised from cuttings and some from seed, which have been immediately taken off the market. As soon as the seed suppliers heard that this thing has been done, they had no option. It's a crazy world, really, because we have a blue carnation that was genetically modified. We can buy the cut flowers in Europe and sell the cut flowers, but we can't grow the plant anywhere else away from the EU. Then, of course, it's open house on GM pretty well. And in America, I think over 90% of the soya that's grown are now GM cultivars. So it looks as if the cork's out the bottle. I've just sown my first few runner beans. I like to sow at this time, and then another lot in a month's time. And with luck, the first sowing are just about through without worry about frost. It's a pretty good bit of land. You know, it's been well dug, a lot of compost in it, so they should be fine. And, you know, we gardeners, we like to brag a bit. This week, I picked my first ripe strawberry. Yes, it was under a polythene cover. I've got a walk-in polythene greenhouse. I'm just going into the second summer with it now. I can't think why I didn't have one before. They're absolutely fantastic, especially for those of us who are getting on a bit in years. When the wind's cold or it's raining, you know, just step inside and you're protected and everything grows so quick. And of course, we're at least 2 or 3 weeks, if not 4 or 5 weeks ahead of the rest. I had a friend nip in too, unexpected, on the Saturday of that bank holiday. And he stopped over for lunch, put me on the spot a bit, except I was able to nip up the garden and pick a really big handful of asparagus. Had that with some boiled potatoes and salmon. Boy, that's why we garden. Pick it fresh and then straight down and into the pot. Trouble is, it spoils you for other stuff that's been knocking about for days, if not weeks. And the asparagus, of course, will cut now quite heavily through until about the first week of June, and that's when we stop. I've planted a new row, actually, because my asparagus bed has been down for, must be, 20, 25 years. And I'm afraid last summer I let it get a bit weedy. So I think I'm going to dig the lot up and then just replace it with a new one. I need to get on, too, with sowing some zinnias. I love to grow zinnias for cut flower. And if you sow those now, ideally covered with cloches, just to give a bit of protection, keep the soil warm, and then just thin them out. If you grow the giant dahlia kind, or what we call pumila, they make fantastic cut flowers. You know, you cut the first rather short-stemmed flower, and then all the side shoots break and grow much taller. You can cut those and keep cutting them. B But do keep an eye on the garden. You know, you need to walk round and have a look at things quite often. I was out just trimming the edge of the lawn and noticed that there was some grey aphis on the lupins. Oh, that's a terrible thing, that really big grey aphid. It multiplies at a tremendous rate if you don't stop it in its tracks. So fortunately, I saw mine in good time and gave those a little spray. And within 24 hours, we'd cleaned those up. You have to do it. If not, then the plants are pretty well leafless in a week or two. I've got very nice lilac and tamarix too in full flower. So from the bedroom window when I look out, they're absolutely fantastic. And as soon as they've finished flowering, then I shall get the secateurs out, chop them back just to hold the size a bit, because they're getting quite big now in our modest size garden. And both those shrubs, if they're pruned immediately after flowering, then they'll make some nice new growth, which will flower next year.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, our guest today is very high in my esteem, Mr. Tim Baker, who's the head at Charlton Manor Primary School. Now, Tim, can you give us a little bit of scene set? Would it be fair to describe you as an inner city school?
Yes, we're an inner city school. We're in Greenwich, which is southeast London. We have about 66% of our children are from ethnic minority backgrounds, Nepalese being our highest ethnic group, but it's changed over the years, and just over 80% of our children come from bottom 10% most deprived in the country.
So it's a pretty tough area to work then.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, yeah.
Now, how long have you been doing gardening? I was trying to think. When we first met, it was through a school's growing campaign, wasn't it?
It was, and I can remember it well. It was Morrison's Let's Grow for Chelsea.
Oh, that's right, with the bus, yeah.
Yes, absolutely, and that was about, 8 years ago, probably.
Now, when I go into the school, you've got high fencing, pretty well all tarmacadamed except for a little corner. So why did you sort of set off gardening? I mean, it seems to be the last thing that one would think about doing in that situation.
I think at that time, when I first became head teacher, it was a time where gardening or children, very much in the news, that children didn't know where their food came from, and they believed that carrots came from the supermarket rather than the ground.
Yeah.
And that worried me. That was a real concern. And so I thought, well, what can I do about it? And the only way you can do about it is show them where it actually comes from. So we did take an area of the grounds to change into a garden, which the children absolutely loved. And it's just gone from strength to strength. It's very popular with the children and the adults, actually. We all love it, absolutely.
But it's not just the fruit and veg. I mean, you've got livestock there too, haven't you?
Yeah, we certainly have. We've got chickens. Now, the chickens, I guess our oldest ones are about 6 years old now. We've known them since they were eggs. We actually hatch them out in the school so the children can see them hatch. And then they go to our nursery coop before they go on to the main coop. So all the chickens that we've got in our coop now, the oldest being about 6 years and then 5 years and four, we hatch out ourselves and then they lay eggs for our cooking. And we also have bees, which I think at the time when I let parents know, which was about 6 years ago, that we were going to have bees in the school and staff, they were a little bit panicked until I let them, really got them to understand that actually I wasn't introducing bees into the school. The bees are already here. They can walk around the garden with the beautiful flowers that we have out there, and there's bees all over the place. And they realised, I guess, that, this wasn't bringing bees into school. The bees were already here.
And I can understand the apprehension. I mean, as a very young lad, in my teenage years, I remember buying a hive of bees, but without any mentor or help. It was a nightmare. They were a pretty angry lot of bees. Did you have somebody to sort of guide you, or are you a beekeeper?
Well, we got in touch with a local bee club, and I think the reason we did it mainly was because we had a hive or a swarm of bees come to the school, and I wanted to better understand the bees, because obviously we tell the children they're important for the environment, and they're completely, you know, they're safe if you don't bother them. But I think what we were teaching the children by our actions was that to panic and so on. So I thought, well, let's bring bees in and let's get to know them. So we contacted our local beekeepers, who were very, very helpful, and they ran a beekeeping course for us. So myself, my gardener, a friend of mine, who was a friend of mine at the time, has now become the gardener, and a couple of other staff went along to a 10-week beekeeping course so that we could learn how to keep the bees and introduce them to the school.
With a bit of help and encouragement, it's amazing, isn't it, what you can get children to do. And you said that they were quite enthusiastic about gardening. Why do you think that is? I mean, wherever I go, you get a group of kids with their hands in the compost and sowing seed and planting. Their eyes really light up, don't they?
They certainly do. And I think one of the things with gardening that we found very much was it's very much of a team effort. It's about working together. And I think the gardener supporting the children. And also you can have conversations. And I think this day and age, and I think one of the things that really concerns me in terms of schooling is that that working in class can be very on your own, and not actually sharing with teachers what may be an issue inside you. Maybe something that happened at home, maybe something in the playground, but we don't get time to share this because we're busy. The teacher wants us to work in maths or whatever. Whereas in the garden, you hear the conversations going on, and they can be planting seeds or trimming plants, but the conversation is about what's bothering the child at the time, and you give an opportunity there to the adult to give some guidance, and so the child can then start developing their own sense of morals and core beliefs because they're having that quality time with an adult. Then on top of that, they nurture the plant, they look after it, they water it. What happens to the plant is directly linked to how they've actually looked after it. So it gives them a sense of responsibility as well.
And when it comes to the education, the formal education, of course, they've got to do the measurement, haven't they, for the rows?
Absolutely.
They've got to write labels. You've got to read what's on the back of the packet, find out where the things have come from. It's quite a good area, isn't it, to teach young people all kinds of things.
It is, and it's certainly a practical experience which actually gives children a good understanding of things like measurements. So, for example, metres, they can measure out a flower bed using metres, you know, metre rules, whereas if they're in a classroom, then for convenience sake, the teacher might use centimetre as a metre, and the children not always understand the two different measurements. But being outside, they can use the metre rules and measure flower beds. They can, as you say, measure the heights of plants. They can look at our weather station that we've got to see if there's an impact on the, and record the weather every day that they're measuring the plant, see if there's an impact or, you know, a correlation between the weather and the height that it grows, or things like that. And obviously there's pollination, there's seed dispersal, there's so much going on in the garden all the time that it gives children a real understanding of education.
Tim, I'd like to underline, I mean, the age of children we're talking about is sort of 5 to 10, isn't it? At 11, they go off to secondary school.
Absolutely, it is, yeah.
And you've taken some of these very young people abroad, haven't you?
We have. We've had many opportunities now. So we went to, a few years back, we went to Holland, to the Floriade and to the Keukenhof Gardens, which was a wonderful experience for the children. And they've had a wonderful understanding of what that was all about.
And we had that lively young lad, I remember, on the stepping stones who went into the water, eh?
He did. Absolutely. But what an experience for him. He really had a great time. His feelings weren't dampened by it, but he had a great time.
Well, I mean, it was amazing the way that the Dutch folk at the Kirchenhof sort of whipped him away, had a drying machine, I think, didn't they? Dried his clothes and put him back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And we're at the moment helping a school in Germany design and build a garden. And again, that's bringing two schools together from across, you know, across the continent. So our children have been out to there twice now and helped put the design together and are now doing the practical work of actually building the garden. So it's wonderful that we've been involved with that as well.
And so what about language then? I mean, do you do a bit of German? Surely not.
We do, yeah. We do two trips abroad. We do one at the end of year four, so when the children are 7 or 8, and they go to France, because in our years 3 and 4 children, they learn French. And then in years 5 and 6, so when the children are 9 to 11, they learn German. And we then get groups going over to Germany at the end of the year to help, again, this school develop their garden. And the school come over here to us in usually about March time to see our garden.
But have you also been as far as China?
Yes, yeah, we went to China. Staff went just a couple of months ago, went to China. And I myself went just over a year ago to China. And again, it was talking about the ethos of food growing and healthy eating. And they were very impressed because we had some Chinese students come over and they were very impressed with our garden.
I can imagine. But of course, we can't mention Charlton Manor without your kitchen facilities, both the restaurant where the youngsters eat and also your fantastic cooking classroom, haven't you?
We certainly have, which is very, very popular with the children. They absolutely love it. And both the chefs, we have Flavio, who works in our kitchen, which supplies the school lunches, which is absolutely delicious. And then we have, obviously, the teaching kitchen with Joe in the teaching kitchen, who does some wonderfully creative and imaginative lessons of English or maths or science or history or DT or art using cooking, and all the time underlying the health aspects of healthy eating and using the produce from the garden.
I mean, I was just amazed. You had a famous chef there, didn't you, to open it? And I mean, he was cooking omelettes and getting the youngsters with frying pans and hot grills and all kinds of things.
Absolutely, and they're very confident of that. I mean, yeah, that was Raymond Blanc when he came, and he's a very good. He's a very good supporter of the school. And it's been a number of times now, and yeah, absolutely. The children are very aware of safety surrounding these sharp knives and hot liquids and various things like that. So our sort of approach to this is to not stop children from doing it, but to actually educate them as to how to do it safely, in the same way that, you know, we know that most deaths for children is on the roads, but we don't stop children from crossing roads. We just teach them how to do it properly. And we work alongside them in order to gain their confidence and their ability to be able to do it themselves.
What have you got for us for Chelsea? You know, we like to have things that are grown by school children. You can have one or two vegetables for us, do you think?
We certainly are, and I know I've been talking to our gardener, and he's very pleased with the progress of the vegetables that he's been growing. And yeah, he's very much looking forward, and the children are very much looking forward to Chelsea, because it's one of the highlights of their year where they can actually show off what they do, and that's not only just by in the actual way they put it into the garden, but also by people passing, and they can talk to the children about it, and they're very proud of what they do.
And really, when I come to the school, not often enough, I'm afraid, you know, to have the youngsters run up to you and greet you, they're such bright, outward-going, lovely children. You're doing a fantastic job, Tim. I hope you realise that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Peter. And we love it when you come along, because it's always exciting, and you've always got such wonderful wealth of experience to impart to the children, which they, and my gardener, who would sit and talk with you for the whole of the day if you had the time, because he just loves it when you come along, and so do the children.
Yeah, but with every school, you know, where we go in to do little workshops and establish gardening clubs, if you haven't got people like Nick with that enthusiasm that are there, you know, because it's 7 days a week, isn't it? Somebody's got to have an eye on the weekend and watering and caring, that kind of thing.
Well, absolutely. And as he points out, it's holidays as well. So, you know, he has to keep the garden maintained and going all through the holidays and even through the winter. Through the winter, when the teachers don't fancy going out there maybe with the classes as much as they should, he's having to continually keep on doing work in the garden.
That's right, doing the donkey work. Yeah. Mm. Tim, look forward to seeing you at Chelsea, if not before, and thanks very much indeed for chatting to us today. You do
Thank
a wonderful
much,
job.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Last weekend, I was invited out to a new housing estate, detached house with a double garage, you know, quite a posh sort of place. And the back garden was just, I would think, about 30, 35 feet deep and 50 feet wide. It sloped a bit, had a very nice patch of turf. Looked to me like Rowland's medallion from the dark green, and the width of the grass was a really very nice piece of lawn. And then, of course, 6-foot-high fences all the way round. And the owners had moved house and brought a lot of the roses with them. They must have moved at just the right time, because the roses were fantastic. You know, they were growing again and making a lot of really good budded growth. I did notice a little bit of green fly about, and so pointed that out to them. And they had a standard tree too, Prunus bleriana, very pretty thing. It had finished flowering, but was starting to make quite a few shoots from the trunk. And I was able just to rub those off. Well, one or two were getting a bit beyond the point of rubbing, but I'm never without my knife, so we managed to whip those off and tidy that up. And then looked at several of the climbers that were put against the fence. Trochilia spermum, that's a lovely thing for a sheltered garden. Trochilia spermum jasminoides, as the name indicates. Very fragrant climber. Give that a year or two, that was going to make a fantastic show, just alongside a little summer house that they had tucked in the corner of their back garden. But they'd been to the garden centre, like lots of people last weekend, and bought a pot acer, one of the Japanese acers that's very pretty with the new growth in the spring, and then also has lovely autumn colour. Now, it was in a 3.5-litre pot. Of course, the first thing I do is to turn it upside down and knock it out. If you buy a plant, it's the roots that are important. If the roots are all right, then the top will certainly follow. And it was fine, but you need to be very careful if you're buying a small and young Japanese maples. They need a fair bit of water through the summer and a bit of care. But in their first and second winter, they don't need to be too wet. They'll take the cold all right, but not if it's wet and cold. So I suggested that they have the potted plants in a shallow saucer through the summer, so that they can leave a little bit of water in the saucer to be taken up if they're away for a day or two. But then take the saucer away through the winter, and in a perfect world, put the pot up on pot legs just so they dry a bit. Thanks again to our sponsors this week, Sutton's Seeds of Torquay. We'll be back next Thursday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.